Blog Talk Radio.
I believe every word he said and all his promises spoken to me. I believe that his word is true. Come on over and you will see that the Lord is good and the Lord is kind. The Lord will bring you a peace of mind. Stand on your faith.
Oh.
and welcome to Marketing Ministry, the radio show. I am your host, Wanda Adams. And in starting, we always want to give thanks and glory to God because it is because of Him that we're able to do what we do. On today's show, we're going to blow you away. We have Mr. Entertainment himself, Alvin Williams of A. Williams Entertainment. Alvin was formerly the senior music director of Gospel Music Channel, and he has ventured off and started his own company called A. Williams Entertainment. I've had the opportunity to meet him. He's such a humble man. He is so full of wisdom and knowledge, and he knows the gospel and Christian music industry like you know the back of your hand. So if you know somebody today that's trying to break into the industry, or if they're a label or an artist, you want to text them, or call them, tweet them, and tell them to tune into this show because it will truly bless them. We were just playing Faults by Tanya Dallas Lewis. A new artist, her music is phenomenal. You want to check her out. She's available on iTunes. You want to pick up a copy of that. But with no further ado, we're going to bring on the line our special guest, Alvin Williams. What's up, Alvin?
Alvin, I'm trying to find Alvin now. I mean, the way you did the introduction, I don't think that's me. I'm trying to find him for you. How you doing,
okay,
man? This is Alvin. Hello?
Alvin. You know what? You can be playing games because I was getting ready to meet you.
How you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing well. We are so honored that you took the time out of your busy schedule to hang out with us because, in my opinion, you are just such a phenomenal man of God. You're full of wisdom. You know, you're a straight shooter, and I just appreciate you.
All right. Thank you. You're too kind. And thank you for thank you for having me.
What you want me to say, Alvin? You don't know nothing.
So, nah,
but you do.
I'm honored to be on.
I had the opportunity to read your book, The Business of Music for the Christian and Gospel Industry, and that book is just so full of powerful information. And I encourage our listeners, you want to go out and pick up a copy of that book. It is available online. But, you know, so many times, Alvin, you get people that come to you and they've already made bad deals.
Yeah. Unfortunately, people, artists, and novice managers, they're just so excited about getting a deal and just don't understand what type of deal they're getting into. And it all depends on, every deal is not a bad deal based on your situation. So if there's no other deal that's on the table, you just need to understand the rules of the music industry and the changing rules of the music industry and what a company has to offer, and to say, okay, do I want to enter into this agreement? Is it going to help my career? I'll probably get the short end on money, but I'll be able to build my brand, or do I need to just walk away and try to do it on my own? And sometimes, you know, there's a lot of power in saying, no, let me just wait and move forward. So, you know, unfortunately, I get a lot of phone calls about and emails about bad deals, but typically by the time it gets to me, they're either stuck in a deal or they spent all their money and with no positive outcome, and it's pretty much nothing that can be done.
Now, Alvin, in your opinion, what is the most crucial thing an artist should do before they go into any deal?
Read and understand the industry that they're getting into. Understand the record process, understand what's going on in physical good, understand what's going on in digital, understand the marketing promotion aspect, understand publishing, understand the word recoupment, understand spec, understand what is the artist royalty, what is a producer royalty. You know, you just the key word, you just need to understand what you get into. And if you don't understand, you need to go hire an entertainment attorney. If there's an agreement in front of you, so they can read it, understand it, and interpret that agreement to you. So, but if you're not, if you're interested in getting in the business or you're just getting in and you're growing, you just have to understand the business. And, I mean, I learn every day. I make it a purpose to learn the business every day because executives change, companies go out of business, company merge, radio PDs are getting laid off due to syndication and the merger, understanding what's the new technology, what's working, what's not, the pros and cons, what's going on with Walmart, what's going on with the physical sales. So it's an everyday process that you have to stay on top of your game. You just can't say, I want to make a record, and I'm going to let somebody else worry about it. So if you let somebody else worry about it, then a few years down the road, you're going to be worrying about what happened to the money that was in your account.
Absolutely. Now, you brought up a couple of good points, Alvin, that I want you to elaborate on. What do you think is the most misconstrued concept about recoupment? Because, you know, a lot of times artists don't understand that when producers or labels put out money, that is recoupable.
Yeah, a lot of artists don't realize, and it's part of negotiation. Because you can negotiate where everything is not recoupable, or at least instead of 100%, 50% is recoupable. So if I'm an independent record label and I sign you as an artist, and if I give you $100 as an artist advance, that's recoupable. So any product that's sold, I'm going to get my $100 back first before you see anything. So if I hire if I pay for the studio time and the producer, if I spend $10,000 on that, I'm going to get my $10,000 back before you see anything. As well as, you know, if I hire a radio promotion, a publicist, any independent contractor I hire on your behalf to push the project, I'm going to see my money first. So if I end up spending $100,000 on producing, marketing a project as a record label, I'm going to make, if you sell 10,000 units, you're not going to see any money until I recoup my $100,000. And it's an ongoing deal because after you release the record, then I'm going to have to pay for you to go to promotional events, to different radio stations events. So that can be another $25,000 to $75,000. So now you're up to $175,000. And the bill just keeps, you know, going and going. So if you have a hit record at radio, guess what? It's going to cost more money using a terminology called chasing a record because you want to promote that single that's blowing up the radio. So you got to do more radio. You got to start doing TV and radio. I mean, TV interviews around the country and radio around the country. Then you're doing TV performances, hopefully, if it's that big. And now TV is not paying for your travel and your expenses. The record label got to pay for that. So just chasing a record, I can spend another $100,000. So now you're at $275,000. So at the end of the day, recoupable means I'm going to make my money before the artist sees any money as it relates to the sale of a record.
Wow. Now, you know, I get a lot of artists calling me all the time, and the first thing they do is they really want a distribution deal, but nobody knows who they are yet. Talk to us a little bit about distribution, Alvin.
Well, a distribution deal, excuse me, a distribution deal, the purpose of a distribution company, their sole purpose is, one, as it relates to physical goods, is to sell your project into the stores. So, you know, right now you're talking about the big box stores, which is your Best Buys, your Targets, and your Walmart, which those are challenges by the sales with a new artist, to sell in and collect your money from the stores. And they're doing the same thing on the digital front, meaning that they're going in to handle all your digital distribution to all your online stores. So their distribution job is to sell your product to any and every outlet that they can convince to sell it, to buy it. And then once they buy it, based on, and a lot of this, other than digital, all these physical goods are bought on credit. So Walmart can buy in 4,000 units from you. So it's the distribution company again to sell it in to Walmart, take the orders, and if those 4,000 units sell through, which means if you sell out, then they collect your money, they take their percentage that can be anywhere from 10 to 25%, depending on how you negotiate, and then you get the rest. But the challenge is that's how the distribution functions. But if you're a new artist, and one, if you want a distribution deal, you're telling the distributor that, one, I am a record label that not only I have product, I have at least $25,000 to $75,000 to promote my project to the marketplace. So if you don't have money to market and promote your project, you're not going to get a distribution deal. Or if you're not releasing multiple projects, you're not going to get a distribution deal. If nobody knows, if you don't have a solid team, you're not going to get a distribution deal. So a lot of people may have the best project in the world, but you don't. If you don't have these other variables, then you're not going to get a distribution deal for the simple reason is that same example I gave you as it relates to Walmart. If Walmart orders 4,000 units, it could be anywhere from 90 to 180 days before they have to pay on that account, pay the distributor for that those CDs that they purchase. So over a course of 60 days, if you only sell 500 units, guess what? Walmart is going to return those other 3,500 units back to your distributor. So your distributor is going to charge you anywhere from 5 to 25 cents per CD that's returned. And then they're going to charge you postage to mail them back to you. So not only you have to pay for manufacturing and distribution, I mean manufacturing of your product and marketing promotion, now you got some returns, so you have to pay the fee on that. And then once your project gets returned from Walmart, unless you have a smash hit at radio, they're not going to reorder. So distribution, it's easy to say, but it's not easy to achieve from a record label standpoint. And one way to succeed, you really need to have multiple projects releasing. And that's a whole different conversation on how that works.
Wow. Now, listeners, we're going to open up our phone lines. If you have questions for Alvin, you can call in at 917-932-1720. And press 1 to speak to the host. Again, that number is 917-932-1720. And Alvin will be delighted, won't you, Alvin, to answer their questions?
Yep.
I didn't hear anything,
I'll
Alvin.
I'll be delighted. No, I'll be delighted. So let me know if you want the truth or you want me to sugarcoat it.
I want you to give them the truth. I want you to let them know the real deal. Our chat line is also open, so if you don't want to call, and I see people in our chat room, you can email your question and I'll ask Alvin. Because as I stated at the opening of this show is for everybody. You know, we always know somebody, Alvin. You know, our cousin, our uncle, our sister, somebody is trying to do something in the music industry. And it's just like you said earlier, you know, they feel like that once they complete the project, that's it, that they're just going to blow up. And we both know that is not how it works. And it does take money, you know. And because we're in an age where everybody is self-publishing, they don't lay their foundation correctly.
Correct.
Now, Alma, what is the difference between, you know, what do you see some of the major differences between the gospel and Christian music industry and the secular music industry?
Well, the difference between the gospel and the Christian music industry is white and black. It's a racial divide, just like the churches. I mean, on Sunday morning, churches are the most segregated places you can go into.
They are.
I mean, it's some churches are trying to meet in the middle, and the ones who do a great job I think is a true reflection of heaven. But, you know, when you go to Christian radio, they're not going to play gospel music. And even if you're African-American, you're going to have a hard time, and I'll tell you why. If the, all the artists who have been successful, African-American artists who have been successful at Christian radio, have been artists that came up through the Christian ranks. Nicole Mullen, who is a dynamic songwriter and artist, she used to be Michael W. Smith's background singer. Out of Eden, they were signed to Toby Mac's label. BB and CeCe are one of the few who have the best of both worlds, is because they came up through the the PTL club days, and so as they came up through the ranks, the Winans brand was accepted on both sides of the fence of gospel and Christian. So, but at the same time, I'm not sitting here blaming Christian radio that they won't play gospel music or black artists. It's because gospel radio does the same thing. Gospel radio will not play a Chris Tomlin. And a lot of the praise and worship artists, that the songs that we sing for praise and worship happen to come from a lot of these Christian acts. Fred Hammond. Fred Hammond, you know, he was one of his artists that he loves, that got him in, that really motivated him to praise and worship. And you know, you check his interviews, it's Michael W. Smith. We're seeing a lot of Michael W. Smith and Chris Tomlin, and the list goes on of these Christian artists in church. So the gospel marketplace has the tendency of not playing even black artists that are being played in Christian, because Nicole Mullen had a hit song that was just wonderful called My Redeemer, that, you know, it wasn't a dry eye in the place when she performed at the GMWA years ago, but gospel radio didn't gravitate to it. Nor, when I worked at the record label at the time, Word, they wouldn't even service the record to gospel. So there's a mentality of a racial divide between gospel and Christian. So many, and I say this because I hear so many black artists, or let's just say gospel artists, say, you know, I'm a service to gospel radio. You know, I'm gonna work the marketplace. You're wasting your money and you're wasting your time. It's not gonna work and it's not gonna happen. And if it does, you have to build a solid foundation on the gospel side before you try to cross over to any other genre. So which segues into the mainstream marketplace. The bottom line is that everybody needs to understand radio is in the business to make money, period. Mm-hmm. So urban radio, AC radio, mainstream radio, secular radio, whatever you want to call it, they cater to advertisers. They make their money off advertisers. They play music as a format that could attract listeners. So they really care less about the music. So if you want to try to put gospel in the mix, they're only going to play one, maybe one and a half artists at urban radio. Why? It's because Coca-Cola is not a Christian company. Coca-Cola is not a Muslim company. Coca-Cola is not a Buddhist company. Coca-Cola is a company that has customers that are atheists, that are Christians, that are Muslims, that are any type of belief that you can believe. So they're not going to advertise on a secular radio station that's playing gospel, that's going to play gospel artists on a regular basis. Now, if they want to make that spin, they're going to go to a gospel radio station that their sole purpose is to play gospel music. So, but an urban radio station where they have a top 40 playlist that they're playing 50 Cent, Drake, that's an urban format, hip hop format. Drake, Kanye West, any hip hop artist, you know, if something comes through, it may just be one artist because they don't want to turn their listeners off, nor they want to turn their advertisers off. So, and before you can even get on urban radio, let's take, for example, who's current now, Marvin Sapp. Marvin Sapp became. Go ahead.
No, I'm listening. You go ahead.
Marvin Sapp.
You're doing great, Alvin.
Okay. Marvin Sapp had a major hit first at Gospel Radio. Donnie McClurkin had a major hit at Gospel Radio with We Fall Down. Smokey Norfolk had a major hit, I Need You Now, at Gospel Radio. Kirk Franklin has multiple major hits at Gospel Radio. Then it crosses over. So before mainstream radio decides to play, okay, let's add a gospel song, they're going to look over the fence and see what the success is of that artist. And pretty much the only artist that came out the box successful at urban radio without grabbing gospel radio first was Mary Mary. But they just, I mean, those girls are just great writers. Warren Campbell's a great producer. And their music is so in the pocket at urban radio, a hit is a hit. And Shackles was what you call a vertical song. You didn't know what they were talking about. So it fit very well in the format. But even though you don't know what the song is talking about, the girls stand for God. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So that's the difference between Christian gospel and mainstream radio.
Now, Alvin, what does ministry mean to you?
Ministry, what ministry means to me is whatever relationship Alvin Williams has with God, and I understand what my mission is, and my goal is to ensure I complete that mission so I can please God. So that's ministry and bringing and spreading the word of God via song, via consulting, whatever I do on a regular basis. If I can bring anybody closer to God and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then that's what ministry means to me. How I achieve that is up to me, and as long as I'm in good graces with God, then I'm cool, and I don't care what anybody else has to say. So everybody has a ministry. How you execute your ministry to bring people into the kingdom is you got to do what you got to do, and you know which leads into people want to hate on Yolanda Adams, people want to hate on Kirk, they want to hate on Shirley Murdoch, they want to hate on Willie P. Moore. But I've been at these award shows, the Grammys, the BET Awards, that these artists are backstage waiting to perform, and they have some of the biggest stars saying, open their heart, would you pray for me? I got this going on. They're back there praying, consoling, talking about God. So while everybody's like, I don't understand why they doing this and she's on this, it's because that's her mission. That's what she's doing, and as long as her and God is happy, then it's cool.
Well, see, Alvin, that's a problem that we have in the Christian community. As you know, the world is not beating us up. You know, we're not, you know, you don't hear Ted Koppel or anybody else talking about what we're doing over here. We're doing it to ourselves.
Right.
And we're doing it, and we lack that understanding about it. You know, I always say, what God has for me is for me. What he has for you is for you. I'm not hating on you because what you have, because I don't know what you had to endure to get what you got.
Right.
I don't want to go through what you went through.
Exactly. And that's so funny. That is such a true statement. People say, in business, I want to be like you, man. I want to be like you. And this individual kind of caught me at a bad and good time. And what I mean by that, I said, you want to be like me? He's like, yeah. I said, okay, so this is what this means. This means that you're going to go through bankruptcy. You're going to be broke. You're going to get fired from a job and have to drive all the way back home and sleep on your mama's couch to start all the way over. And then you're going to have to go out selling T-shirts again and washing cars again while people think you're still rolling in the music industry in between label jobs to build yourself back up. So, you know, the money is not there, the glitz and glamour is not there because some things that happen. So people see the good, but they don't understand the bad. So I agree with you 100%. It's easy to say I want to be like you, but when you say that, you don't understand what's going on behind the scenes. So, you know, everything I just said, bankruptcy, the whole nine, I've been through that, but that's what allows me to be who I am today. And I always will ask God, it's like, okay, when is my turn? I will see these executives, and I use my knowledge to help companies grow, their bottom line increase. And, you know, behind the scenes, is that, hey, you did a great job, but they want to take the credit. And I'm like, what's going on? And I had to learn to be still. God had me going through college. I'm taking you through this for a reason. And I always equate my life to, and I'm finishing up a book. It's What's Your Joseph Story, How to Live Your God-Given Dream. Joseph had a dream, and he knew that everybody, the dream showed that his mom, his dad, his brothers and sisters was going to bow down to him, you know. He knew he was going to be rich and famous, just to sum it up. But he didn't know that in order to get to the end, he didn't know his brothers were plotting to kill him. They threw him in a well, and then from that they sold him into slavery. And then from slavery, you know, he ended up being a slave to the sergeant at arms. And his wife was trying to sleep with him. Then cried rape. Then he went to jail. And then when he went to jail, he interpreted a couple of dreams and told one of the guys, "Hey, tell the king about me." He forgot about him until it was 2 years later. He was the baker or the cupbearer. He said, "Oh, I know a guy who can interpret your dream. He's in jail." He laid out a whole plan and to save Egypt, and then he ended up being the governor of Egypt. So that's just a condensed version of it. But if God told us what we had to go through to get to where we're going, a lot of them wouldn't do it. Would stop. Like, God, are you crazy? You telling me I got to go through bankruptcy, lied on, not making money, people giving me a bounce check to get there? You know what? I'm just be a manager over here at this fast food joint, which is nothing wrong with it. But when you have aspirations to be successful, it's true. It's lonely at the top.
Absolutely. And what people have to realize, Alvin, the anointing costs. It comes a price with everything you do. And just like you said, if God revealed everything to us initially what we were going to go through, we would never develop a relationship with him. Because we'd be like, I don't even want it. You know, I think about sometimes, you know, the story of Lazarus, you know, where he had to die and be in a tomb. Now, if you know that was you and I, we'd be asking God every few minutes, "You sure you're going to raise me?"
Right.
You know, "You don't let me right here, Lord." You know, we wouldn't want to do it. So he cannot reveal everything to us because, you know, we're not ready for it yet.
Right.
And as most people think, you know, in ministry, that, I think this is what we got to remember, Alvin. In ministry, you know, people think like in the Christian and gospel music industry, you could correct me if I'm wrong, we have not arrived there yet. Ain't that a lot of money in the Christian and music industry?
Nah.
So, it's yeah, only, I'm like it, you, I'm just real.
Yeah.
It can be.
It's only, yeah, it can be. It's only a few artists that are really making great livings. And some of these artists, and I'm talking about high six figures and seven figures, but these are the ones who understand the business, which it goes back to, they understand the business, and they went through trial and error to understand that, okay, I can't command $20,000 because I'm not getting it, so I need to price it where churches or promoters will buy me, hire me for my services. I need to make sure I have CDs and pictures and T-shirts to sell because it's a business. You know, being a gospel artist, a lot of people want to try to hide behind the ministry when the bottom line is a business. And if your business is not right, if you're not making money, then you can't fund your ministry. So handling your business is not a dirty word when it comes to gospel. So if you gun shy about entering into the music business, then just stay at church and sing on Wednesdays and Sunday nights and leave the CDs alone.
That's funny. Alpha, we got a caller on the line that has a question for you. This is caller from area code 703. You're live on Marketing Ministry Radio Show. State your question for Alvin Williams.
Hi, my name is Tanya Dallas Lewis, and I just wanted to say, what's up to Alvin? It's so nice to meet you.
Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you.
I'm doing great. I am a new artist, and so, man, the information that you've shared and given has been priceless, and I'm anticipating your book about Joseph and dreams. I don't know if you've seen DreamWorks version of the Joseph story. Have you seen that? It's animated.
No, I haven't.
It is so good. You have to get it. Have you seen the Prince of Egypt version that DreamWorks did?
Yeah, I did see that.
Okay, so it's the same animators, and Alvin, I watch it every Thursday. Once a week I watch that. So anyway, I just wanted to say that I'm so grateful to you and all the wisdom that you shared. And I guess one of the questions I had, you really already answered, which is, you know, being new to the industry, it is a lot of hard work, and there is an aspect of the business that if you don't understand it, you probably won't be as successful. And I think for me, I just try not to get discouraged because I see so many, you know, disparities, you know, because you're thinking, hey, this is a gospel industry. I'm working with Christians here. Not everybody is Christian. But I just wanted to say you really uplifted me with your straight talk and just the way, you know, even your journey that you shared lets me know that God makes promises, and even the dream that he gave Joseph, it came to pass. But there were some bumps and bruises along the way, just like with the children of Israel. He promised a promised land to them, but they still have to fight for it. And so that's exactly what I'm going to do. So I just wanted to thank you for being so encouraging and just keeping it real. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. And I will look at it. I'll go check out the movie.
You have to. Please promise me you will.
Oh, I promise. I pinky promise.
All right.
Well, Alvin, our listeners must know that you're a straight shooter, that you're not going to sugarcoat anything. Now, Alvin, tell us about your latest venture, A. Williams Entertainment.
Oh, well, A. Williams Entertainment, one thing about it, you know, there's an old saying that a jack of all trades, master none.
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to me, it actually doesn't fit because I've been a multitasker for years. And when I was at my last employment with the Gospel Music Channel, which is now goes by GMC, I had created a CEO. I had asked me, I went from marketing and promotion position to creating the music industry development department. So with that, it put me in the middle of the company. So I had to handle all of the artist bookings as it relates to programming, online, ad sales, consumer marketing, affiliate marketing, anything else in between. I had to deal with business affairs on negotiation of agreements, the licensing of music, the licensing of content and acquisition. So I did that for 5 years at the network. So I started getting a lot of phone calls where, can you do this? Yeah, I can do this. Can I do it? Yeah, I can do this. I can do it effectively. So I've always had a heart for artists and management, but I was going to go in another direction. So what I ended up doing is just pretty much under the umbrella of A. Williams Entertainment, started one, a management division, and under that division I manage a new talent on Kingdom Music. We just did a license deal with EMI Gospel named Willie P. Moore, used to be known as Pretty Willie. So you can go to
wow,
the Young Fly and Save, the YFS.com to get more information on him. His project comes out in February. And then I also manage my wife, Tammy Williams. She has a production company called Open Rivers Pictures, and she just completed her first television series called My Destiny Place. and you can go to mydestinyplace.com. So it actually launched on Daystar last Saturday. So it airs every Saturday at 8:30 a.m. On Daystar, and then it launches on the NRB network on September the 18th. So just closed a distribution deal for her to release all her episodes of her children's show on DVD, and just doing some other things with her project. And then I consult Stan Foster of Stan Foster Media, who's a Hollywood writer, director, and producer. His latest film he just finished called Preacher's Kid that was released, and he wrote Women That Are Loose. So we're working on a couple of film projects. And then I work with consult Michael Matthews, who's considered the godfather of gospel stage plays. So he's coming back out to the marketplace. And then I created that's on the management end, and I created A. Williams Home Video, and I'm releasing comedian Jonathan Slocum's new stand-up DVD, October 26th through ADA Warner. I'm producing my first film called Battle in Chicago. So the script just got done, so we're looking at the end of the year to start production on that film. It's based on a true story, and it's going to have a lot of dancing in it as well. And closing a couple of deals with another film company. So my company is pretty much focused on the entertainment, creating content, managing content creators. So my focus is, you know, to stay in the film, television, and always music. So one of the Hollywood guys, television and film guys that I really admire for his work is Jerry Bruckheimer. So my goal is to really hit it with my clients and just really, you know, make a mark in television and film. And everything I do will always be family and faith-based friendly.
Now, Alvin, we have another call on the line for you. This is caller from area code 704. State your name and your question for Alvin.
Oh, my God, this is Pastor Rouse. I was calling myself listening to my brother here share the things that God has opened up for him and the favor that God has given him.
So
all right,
thank
you, sir.
Do you
have a question
for Alvin?
This is Pastor Rouse.
Hi, Pastor Rouse. Do you have a question for Alvin?
Now, I was just really listening to what he was saying, and I was listening to all the things that God is doing for him, man. And I am so proud of you and how God is. How did you? Well, since I'm have to ask the question, I'm asked this: how did you get connected into the things that you got connected into? I mean, you know, because I was listening to you talk about Jerry Bruckheimer. I enjoy his work too. He's an excellent producer in everything that he does.
I got into it, and you know, when I look back at my career, it's all God. One, you know, just to make it brief, I've always been in music. My grandmother was an evangelist, and we used to go to a lot of churches that was held at people's houses. She came from the Holiness Church, and I always was, you know, of course, in the different churches, you always have you know, somebody on the drums, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I started playing the drums at home when we have Bible study and church services. So throughout my entire junior high and high school, I was in the band, stage band, the show choir. I always played the bass, stand-up bass in the orchestra. Just to fast forward, actually, my main start, the way I broke into the music industry was I created, after I returned from Operation Desert Storm, I created a business. It was a mobile car wash business. So you call me, and this is before it was really rampant around at the time. I was living in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was attending college at Tennessee State University. I graduated with a degree in business administration. And I would just wash cars in between classes. So I ended up on a place called in Nashville called Music Row, And for people who know or don't know, Music Row is where all of the country record labels, publishing companies, there is probably about a 4 or 5 block radius. So I started washing cars there. MCA Records Country Division, Sony Records Country Division, the list just goes on. So I built great relationships with some of the top producers, presidents, because I would watch the cars, ask questions about the business, would be in a recording studio waiting to get paid. So I'll just sit down and see how they work the recording console, ask questions. So, you know, my customers were, you know, at the time, producer Tony Brown, Bruce Hinton, Winona Judd, Garth Brooks, Vince Gill, Amy Grant, the list goes on. So I was around the music business on the creative side and the business side, just watching cars, just observing, keeping my mouth shut, not trying to pitch demos, just learning. And then from there, I met a mutual friend of mine. I also had a street promotion company, so I would handle all the flyers and posters for a lot of the top comedians coming to town, Steve Harvey, Bernie Mac, Chris Tucker. Then as the industry grew, I handled the Queens of Comedy, the Kings of Comedy, and I was promoting the show, Jamie Foxx tour, came through Nashville. I hit it off with his road manager, and at the time, a buddy of his was managing Busy Bone, Bone Thugs and Harmony, so he wanted to record in Nashville, and I hooked that deal up, ended up producing with my partner at the time four to five songs on this record. And I just got tired and asked God to kind of deliver me from all that, because I've always been a nerd, don't smoke, don't drink, and but, you know, dealing with a lot of hip-hop heads, it's just a lot of negativity. So I asked them just to deliver me from all that. I do what they want to do, but I want to stay in the entertainment. So one of my customers at the time, I was representing a distribution company called City Hall that distributed a lot of West Coast music. And it was a gospel act named Remix. So I started shopping them. Blanton and Harrell. Michael Blanton and Dan Harrell. Michael W. Smith, Amy Grant. The list goes on. So I was trying to shop it. And he said, well, let me introduce you to somebody. So he set up a meeting with myself and Jim Chafee, who was the general manager of Murr Records, went in shopping the deal, trying to get them a deal. And a couple of weeks later, they offered me a job at Word Records. So I started in my first few projects at the top of that year was, I think it was like the end of 2000. I had to A&R executive produced the Marvin Sapp, I believe, even though it didn't release through Word, it released on Verity. I did that project from beginning to end. I was working on 2.5 Shirley Caesar records, You Can Make It, Hymns record, and the Duets project, the Tommy's Last record, who else, New Direction, and some other artists. And then from there, left there to go to Music World, created Music World Gospel, where I did Michelle Williams' The Destiny Child project, worked on the A&R, the co-A&R, the Fighting Temptation soundtrack, and then was fired from there, did some independent consulting and promotion, ended up being a judge for Gospel Dreams when it was on BET, took Gospel Dreams and shopped it. I was reading about this new network called Gospel Music Channel. And then from there, tracked down the CEO, pitched Gospel Dreams, and 2 weeks later, in both cases, I was offered a job at GMC. So, and then from there, was with GMC for 5 years. They phased out my department, and now I've created A. Williams Entertainment Group, and throughout the my entire run, just built relationships, tried to stay cool with people. Yes, I made a bunch of mistakes along the way, but I always wanted to make sure that my name stood for something. That's one reason why I'm direct, because I get tired of so many A&R executives and music exec and entertainment exec, and some people are scared to say no. And I didn't like people always, well, I get back with you or let me call you back. Just say yes or no. It's an answer. No means I can stop. No means I can go to another direction so I can go find a yes. So that's why I'm always direct, and I try to be constructive and not just say no, that's whack. It's like, no, your music is not good because of this. So you ought to change this, 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 and this, and then you may have a better chance. And then my frustration kicks in when, as I'm trying to tell you something, and I can tell you don't want to listen or you think you want to do it, you can do it a better way, then I'll just go about my business. So, because I'm not going to waste my time when I know exactly what needs to happen to get there. So if I already been somewhere, I can educate you. But if I'm going somewhere, I'm going to learn.
No,
so
Elvis,
sorry it took so time. So it really wasn't an easy answer on how I got in business.
But it was a good answer. And that's one thing that I can truly say about you from what I know of you, that because of your obedience, because of your sincerity, that God truly honors you, and that's why everything that you touch is blessed. And I'm not saying that it was easy, but the fruit of your labor is evidence. Everything that you have touched has been blessed. I mean, you bless Gospel Music Channel immensely. And I think this was just a season that God had ordained for you to launch your own vision. Because, you know, we don't stay this at the same place forever.
Right,
if we do,
right.
We get complacent.
Yeah. Now, you're absolutely right.
If one thing you could change in the gospel Christian music industry, what would that be?
If I can change one thing in the music and the gospel Christian industry, if I can change one thing, it would be we just need to, we can all worship God collectively 7 days a week and just truly worship Him, where it's literally, because we serve one God. So I just don't understand why we're supposed to be worshiping God, but it's just a hard time that we can do it collectively. Now, I make that statement, and I don't make it in a naive way. You know, you said wish. That's my wish, because I know there's a lot of historical reasons of why we are, you know, when you go all the way back to slavery and through civil rights. So I understand. You know, we're not going to have this multicultural heavenly choir until we get to heaven. But that's my wish, if I could change.
Now, since you've launched A. Williams Entertainment, do you get a lot of people coming to you, wanting you to do something for them or with them?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm getting phone calls that I would never expect. The movie that I'm producing, the director called me and said, I want you as my producer. And I was like, hey, right now I don't have money to finance a film. He's like, no, I don't want your money. I just need for you to do what you do. You know, I'm getting calls from, you know, celebrities and talent and other companies that, you know, want me to consult them or even, you know, hey, we want to hire you. So I'm in a great position to say, you know what, let me stay focused. And if a phone call comes in, if it doesn't add to my big picture, then I'll say thank you, but no thank you. So I'm getting some quality phone calls, and I'm getting a lot of phone calls of people who wanna work for me. And I can do things for free to learn, but it's really hard for me to have somebody work for me for free. But I'm trying to get used to that and just understand the word intern, even though you can be an intern even though you're not in school. So I do get a lot of phone calls.
Well, you got to learn how to receive a blessing.
Yeah, that I do.
Now, do you have a division in your company for independent artists? Or are you doing anything with independent artists?
Yes and no. The only independent artist I'm dealing with right now is, from a management standpoint, is P-Dub. Because when it comes to independent artists, it just takes so much time, a lot of money, and a lot of effort. to just get them launched and branded. And the game is not the way it used to be. So it's just challenging to deal with independent artists. And even if they're established independent artists, unless an artist is multifaceted, meaning music, performance, acting, that's the only way I'm interested. I'm not interested in working with a one dimensional artist, because it's the entertainment industry. You got to be able to generate revenues from different platforms. So you want to use the music industry as a launching pad, but you want to be able to develop other platforms. So I'm really limited on. I will grow the division, but right now, I'm just interested in breaking PETA because, you know, not only PETA, I do work with independent companies. Like, my wife is an independent company, Mike Matthews, Stan Foster, but it's a lot behind it to consult, work, get your hands dirty versus just an artist. So to answer your question, yes, but it's just I'm focusing on one artist right now.
Okay. Now, if people want to get in contact with you, learn more about A. Williams Entertainment, learn more about your wife's project, because I've had opportunity to visit her website, and her animation series is phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
Really phenomenal. And I know that it's going to bless some people. And I'd love to have her on the show to talk about, you know, what she does, her company, because, listeners, for your children, you want to check this out. It's a really, really good product, and I think it's just going to blow you away. So give us information, Alvin, on how they can keep in contact and follow you and then learn more about Tammy's company and her project.
Oh, okay. So to contact me, you can go to my website, awilliamsentertainmentgroup.com, and my email is Alvin, A-L-V-I-N, at awilliamsentertainmentgroup.com. And then if you want me to listen to music, I listen to all music. I'm also consult a company as a VP of marketing and business development. It's called arlive.com. That's A as in Apple, R as in Robert, L as in Larry, I as in India, V as in Vivian, E as in Eddie, arlive.com. Go there, set up a free profile, upload your music, your photos, whatever, your bio, whatever you want, and that's how I listen to all music, and just, you know, befriend me. AR Live is a company where we link artists with A&R at the major record companies. So it's a resource if you're really an artist and want to be heard, and we guarantee that your music will be heard by the A&R with you on the phone getting live feedback. So that's another way you can reach me, but that's where I listen to all my music that comes in. And I listen to music to shop to labels. I listen to music for the films as a music supervisor, and then we also shop to other music supervisors and to television and film. And then my wife, you can go to mydestinyplace.com. It's where her children show is featured. And then she has a production website called openriverspictures.com. So, but if you go to awilliamsentertainmentgroup.com, I have links to all the sites, so you can use that as a central point.
Well, Alvin, we're out of time, and I had such a good time with you today. I know our listeners was really blessed by the information that you had given them. We want you to always come back and hang out with us at another time. And like I said, I'd love to have your wife on the show.
I will do. Phillies will make you happy.
I know. Keep me happy, Alvin. Keep me happy. And I just got an email, and you'll probably know who this is. It said, "Tell Alvin, get it, Al Weezy."
Who?
Get it, Al Weezy, from your girl Nikki.
It's It's only a couple of people call me Al Weezy. What's up?
So I guess she's under those couple of people.
Yeah.
Well, we thank you for hanging out with us. And listeners, go and support Alvin's book. It's available online, and it is entitled The Business of Music for the Christian and Gospel Industry. I'm telling you, it's a must-have. You need this book. And until next time, we want you to keep it locked to Marketing Ministry, the radio show. Next week we'll have Tony Rosillas from Gospel Innovation. He's going to be with us, and he's truly going to bless you. So, Alvin, thank you.
Thank you.
And be blessed. And to all those listeners, don't be afraid to cast your vision. Till next week.
He said, and all his promises spoken to me. I believe that his word is true. Come on over and you will see that the Lord is good and the Lord is kind. The Lord will bring you a peace of mind. Stand on your faith, believe in his word.